Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, as we continue to look at the letter of Paul to the church at Colossae. If you recall, and you may not, but last week I ended with verse 14. And as an expository preacher, it would be natural to expect me to go to verse 15 and following. But you may not remember that on Easter Sunday, I preached Colossians 1, 15 through 20, entitled The Incomparable Christ. You can go back and watch that on our Facebook page. I believe it's still posted there, or the audio on our website. And so I am not going to re-preach that section of Scripture. I am going to give you a summary, though, of what the content was of the sermon and what these verses tell us. First of all, in verses 15 through 20, it tells us that Jesus is the unique creator God. All things have been created by him, through him, for him. He is the unique creator God. We also learn that Jesus is the unique church head. He is the head of the church. He is supreme in the church. And then lastly, we learned that Jesus is the unique crucified Savior. It is through the blood of the cross that we are reconciled to him, no longer alienated. He is bringing us back into the proper order of creation. When we repent and believe in him, we can have a relationship with God. And I touched upon that in verses 21 through 23. And now that is where we're going to return, because there is more to be found in those verses, verses 21 through 23. A childhood accident caused poet Elizabeth Barrett to be somewhat of an invalid. She married Robert Browning, and if you don't know who that is, he was an English poet and playwright. She married him in 1846. In her youth, Elizabeth experienced a tyrannical father. He did not approve of this wedding. He disowned her. They had to marry in secret. After they were married, they moved to Italy, where they lived the rest of their lives. But she would write to them, to her parents, almost weekly. After 10 years, she received a large box, and when she opened it, she found all of her letters. Not one of them had been opened. They became some of the most beautiful writings in all of classical English literature. Had her parents only read a few of them, then perhaps their relationship could have been restored. They could have been reconciled to one another. Why do I share this illustration with you? Paul has written a letter. He's written a letter to the church at Colossae. This letter is also written to us here at Gum Springs. It is relevant in 2020. I am telling you today, you need to read the letter so that you too can be reconciled to God, so that your relationship with him can be restored. Don't be like Elizabeth's parents. Read this letter. Hear the words this morning from the Word of God. And what I'm going to share with you in these verses is that the supremacy of Christ is needed in salvation and reconciliation. The supremacy of Christ is needed in your sanctification. The supremacy of Christ is needed in your steadfastness. Let us stand and read just these verses, Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, and you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I hope that you do see that God's word is holy, that it is infallible, that it is inerrant, that it is the word of God. The supremacy of Christ is needed in salvation. Paul is telling the believers there at Colossae that they were once alienated, but now they are reconciled. But let us explore this concept of alienation, being alienated. What does that word mean? It means to be separated, experience feelings of isolation or estrangement. Now, I want you to think for just a moment. How did you feel during the lockdown earlier this year? How do you feel, maybe even now, where perhaps you are isolated from others in that you are trying to protect yourself from COVID-19, or you're not doing the same things that you used to do back in your quote-unquote normal life? Maybe you had feelings of loneliness. Maybe you still have them. I mean, just think about the difficulty of not being able to see loved ones as we should in the hospital, nursing homes, and rehab facilities. Think about those that are in there, how isolated they must feel, alienated from others. Maybe this is not a correct illustration, but I want you to think about estrangement, being separated from. The Bible tells us that unbelievers are alienated from God, not having a relationship with Him. In fact, we read these words, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. That is connected to being alienated from God. In fact, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says that we're dead in our trespasses and by nature children of wrath. We are hostile in mind toward God as unbelievers. Paul is combating this strange teaching in the church that said Christ is not sufficient to reconcile you, that he cannot bring you in relationship with God. You need something else besides Christ. He's not supreme. He's not sufficient. And Paul is saying, yes, he is, by the blood of the cross, by his death. Alienated from God. We see a world alienated from God, do we not? Do we not see a society alienated from God? Do we not look out upon our culture and see the lostness of it? Where sin is promoted, glorified, and normalized. We can look at the big screens, maybe when we get back in theaters, but we can see up on the big screen, we can see on our television, sexual immorality that is astonishing and sickening. There's a new movement in our society to promote polygamy. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. If you begin to mess with the biblical definition of marriage and you say it is no longer between a man and a woman, so if you can remove gender, why can't you remove number? And you're saying, Pastor, that's not... Hold up. Article, New York Times article from July the 1st, 2020. The city of Somerville, Massachusetts has recognized polyamorous relationships by broadening the definition of domestic partnerships to include relationships between three or more adults, expanding access to health care. Alienated from God. There is also a movement in our society that we see trying to normalize even pedophilia. Did you not hear about the trafficking ring that was busted up in Georgia, where nearly 40 children were rescued in a sex trafficking ring. That should have been on the news a lot more. Because that's a positive news story that these children were rescued. But I'm going to share a stat with you that maybe you have never thought about. The most recent I found was 2018. That the top three nations of origin for victims of human trafficking. Do you know what I'm saying here? Who is importing the human trafficking? Their destination, the place that they go. The top three nations. Can you guess? The United States of America, Mexico, and the Philippines. When those who cry peace, peace, there is no peace. Our nation is spiraling out of control into sin. We are loving our sin more than we love God or even believe that He exists. People who are apart from Christ love sin. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Christian here today, unbeliever here today, God is not some gentle, tolerant grandfather, as John MacArthur says, who is in heaven overlooking your hostility toward him. He will bring his wrath upon sin. His judgment is coming. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. How can you escape the wrath of God? Do you see reconciliation and salvation as you being delivered from the wrath of God? Not just unbelievers, quote unquote, in the culture. You're an unbeliever if you're apart from Christ here this morning. And the wrath of God is set upon you. It's coming. That is why Jesus is the supreme reconciler. What does it mean to be reconciled? It means to bring together. It means to restore a relationship. Think about what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a couple of aspects here I want to cover of reconciliation just briefly before I move on. What is reconciliation? Well, we use a lot of Christian terms that perhaps people can't define. But it involves regeneration and justification. And I'm going to define those for you today from our statement of faith. Regeneration, you could think of it as the new birth, being born again. It's a work of God's grace whereby believers become new creatures in Christ Jesus. It is a change of heart wrought by the Holy Spirit through conviction of sin, to which the sinner responds in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith are inseparable experiences of grace. So what is regeneration? It means being born again. It involves repentance and faith. Justification. Justification is God's gracious and full acquittal upon the principles of his righteousness of all sinners who repent and believe in Christ. Justification brings the believer into a relationship of peace and favor with God. Listen to me closely. Science, which claims to have absolute truth, will not deliver you from spiritual darkness. So far, it's not delivered us from the darkness of COVID-19. How do we think it's going to deliver us from the darkness of our spiritual sin? Only Jesus can do that. Verses 12 through 14 from last week. Do you recall those verses? giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Who can take us out of the darkness? The one who brings the light. And that is Jesus. But there's something more to be found here. When he talks about this reconciliation, like if you go back up to verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Well, what does that mean? All things. Richard Chen in his book says in this context, reconciliation can not only refer to enemies being made friends. The scope of reconciliation here is something bigger and broader. In this context where Paul is including the spiritual realm as well as the earthly realm, it most likely refers to bringing about true and peaceful order in all creation. Think of an accountant reconciling the books, bringing everything back into proper order. So what is he saying here? God is in the process of bringing everything back into order. The Garden of Eden was a place of order. There was not sin initially in the Garden of Eden. It is through the fall of Adam that sin has been imputed to us. He is restoring us. He is bringing us back to paradise. And that includes all creation, not just us as human beings. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the creation groans to be made new. And then if you go and you read 2 Peter 3:10, it talks about a new heavens and a new earth. Our creation is fallen. Think about Hurricane Laura. I heard one congressman, which I love to hear. I believe his last name's Kennedy. He may be a senator out of Louisiana. I just like to hear him talk. I like good southern voices. But he is like, I thought Louisiana was about to be blown into Texas. And did you know that was a top 10 storm that hit America in strength? Our creation is fallen. Who can restore these things? Who can restore us in our relationship with God? It is Christ Jesus, and you need to be found abiding in him. And what I've defined it so many times, dwell, make your home, live with him. I must move to verse 22. I know you're astonished that I could find so much in verse 21. You're like, is he ever going to get to verse 22? He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. The supremacy of Christ is needed in sanctification. Do you realize that God moves you from alienation to reconciliation so that you can be sanctified and presented to him holy and blameless, without reproach? What does that mean? Holy means separate. Blameless means without a character flaw or blemish. Without reproach means that no one can bring a charge against you. He is creating for himself a holy nation, a holy people to worship him for all of eternity. You are saved, and he is moving you through sanctification. No one here is already perfect, even though some of you would never admit a wrongdoing in any of your relationships. You claim victimhood, and the other person is the villain. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are being perfected in this life. Not that you will reach perfection, but you are being perfected. As Christians, we can be so intolerant of other people's sins and weaknesses. They don't live up to our expectation. What do? We just tear them down. John Flavel says it's easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret this morning. Are you ready? You are not perfect. Don't faint. Some of you look like you might be sleeping. Don't faint. I don't know if our IEDs are up to code. Jesus is the only perfect person. If you are perfect, you never admit you're wrong, you never ask for forgiveness, then Jesus died for no reason. Are you following my train of thought here? Other people are always sinners, not so much me. That's how we live our lives. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." You're not going to be made holy and blameless until you first realize you're a sinner. What we need in the church today is a little bit more humility. We don't have it all together. That's why we need God's righteousness. God's righteousness when we are saved, when we repent. Remember those words, regeneration, justification, when you new birth. Yeah, you are acquitted by God of your sins. At that time, Christ's righteousness is ascribed to you. It's charged to you. It's imputed to you. So that when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But I want to let you in on a little something here. That righteousness is, God is going to continue to perfect that in you. And I'm not trying to say that God's righteousness is not perfect. I'm saying that he is going to work it in you for the rest of your life as he sanctifies you and cleanses you, and so that he can present you to himself holy and blameless without blemish. The Bible says in Zechariah 3, 1 through 5, that Jesus, it is him that clothes us with white garments. You need Christ in order to be sanctified. See, as a Christian, you're still a sinner. And I really think the difference between, and there are a lot of differences, but one difference when it comes to sin is when we are alienated from God, we are running after sin. When you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You are running from sin. You're still battling sin, but you're not running toward it. You're running away from it because of your love for what God has done for you. This truth of God's righteousness challenges us to live a life of obedience, to live a life pursuing him, wanting this holiness, this sanctification. Listen to me, friends. You can't serve two masters. And I know that there are those in here today that are trying to do so. You will either hate the one and love the other, the Bible says, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and something else. So whom do you serve today? That's a question you've got to answer. I can't answer it for you. Who or what are you living for? Are you being sanctified in and through Christ? Or are you bowing down to the sinful flesh? Paul is warning the Colossians here. You were once this way. Now you're something else. But there's a key word in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. What is he saying there? If. Well, you want to know whether or not you are reconciled to God? He said, I'm writing this letter to you. I see, you know, I'm hearing reports of you, but I want you to know. A marker of whether or not you are reconciled is if you indeed continue in the faith, steadfast, stable, firmly established, not being moved away from the gospel. the hope of the gospel. So I have that word reliance, I think, in my outline. And I'm going to get to that. But I want us to think about this concept, steadfast, unmovable. When I was in high school, I played a lot of softball. I was never very good at it, but I played a lot of it. And we would play in city leagues, county leagues. We would play in church leagues. And one year we decided to play in the fall league. And the fall league was located in a community near Crossville, Tennessee, that's called Mayland. Now, we were a team that played in all these other different leagues, and so we had uniforms, we had sponsors. We go out there, and we are greeted by what might be defined as true rednecks. They would shake our dugout, the chain on our dugout, the fans would, taunting us. They would scream at us and yell at us because we, you know, had on those purdy uniforms. Well, one night, we were playing a team whose name was the Mayland Drunks. That was their official softball name. Why were they called the Mayland Drunks? They liked to sit out in the outfield past the fence and before every game would crush at least a case or two of beer before they played. The Mayland Drunks. They had a mountain of a man. Think Andre the Giant. A mountain of a man playing first base. I was always the pitcher on the team because I didn't have a real skill set. You know, pitcher, hind catcher. And pitching softball, so I was okay, but I wasn't a very good hitter. I mean, every now and then I would get a good one. This one was one of those nights. I got a hold of it. And so I am running as fast as, I was a lot thinner then, I was a little bit faster. Running as fast as I could, coming around first, and there was the mountain of a man. Right in the base path. All right, that's not legal. But do you think the umpire is going to say anything to the Mayland Drunk Mountain Man? No. So I'm rounding first. He just stands there, and I run smack dab into him. He was unmovable. I was not. If I recall, I kind of ricocheted off of him and landed upon my gluteus maximus. If you don't know what that is, it's my rear. He was unmovable. Paul is saying here, proof of your reconciliation is your perseverance in the faith and the hope of the gospel. You are to be unmovable, steadfast, stable, firmly established. Faith here and gospel are used synonymously as he writes this verse. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Now, when we think of these words faith, we think of gospel. We usually try to personalize these, but there is more here than just your personal faith. You are to remain unmovable in the faith. Let me explain. The faith is a set of teachings handed down to us by the apostolic preachers and by the prophets, what we call the Bible. Paul is saying you are truly reconciled if you don't move away from what is considered the doctrine of the apostles or orthodox teaching of Scripture. The faith. It's a set of teachings that has historically been proclaimed in the church since the apostles. Don't move away from that. You move away from that, then you're going to fall away from the faith. Remain unmovable in the hope of the gospel. The gospel is a message. It is a person and it is a message. You've heard me say this before, but you're not reconciled to God by prayer. You're not reconciled to God by baptism. You're not reconciled to God by walking an aisle. You're not reconciled to God by filling out a card, a response card. There are people who have prayed the prayer. There are people who are church members, and they've moved away from Jesus, from the faith. They're living lives steeped in sin without any repentance or remorse. I am not here to bring judgment or condemnation, but I am saying to you today, these people are giving evidence of not having been regenerated and justified by God. For the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 about false professions and false teachers. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. John MacArthur says, the Bible testifies that those who are truly reconciled will continue in the faith. The faith, the gospel. We rely on the faith. We rely on Jesus Christ. And we hope in Him. Remember early on it said that the truth of the gospel produces faith, hope, and love? So here I return to hope. And I'm not going to redefine hope for you today. I hope you understand. I hope you understand what hope means. Hope is not found in self. Even though a culture tells us we need to just fixate upon our own self-image. Hope is not found in marriage, a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Hope is not sexual immorality. Hope is not drugs. Hope is not found in a job or a business. Hope is not found in political leaders or parties. I love the United States of America. It hurts my heart to see people who hate America. I grieve. They don't know the grace of God that they have been given. Alienated, hostile in mind toward God. But having said this, this country and its social institutions will not help you keep the faith. Do you realize that this was in my sermon and I did not know that Jerry was going to pick this song? You would think, as husband and wife and as music director and pastor, we might be on the same page. We're not. We're seldom on the same page. You know what I'm talking about. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Seldom on the same page. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On the solid rock I stand. God is unmovable. He is our rock. He is steadfast in His love for us. And He is calling us to Himself, once alienated, but through the blood of the cross, through the body of flesh, by His death, we who once were alienated are now reconciled. And guess what? We can stand on the rock. All else is sinking sand. What are you building your hope on today, folks? We can have hope in the midst of a pandemic. We can have hope in the midst of struggles and difficulties in life, through circumstances that are negative, through people persecuting us for even being Christian. We can have hope and joy. Why? because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I want you to know that faith is under attack in America today. It will only get worse unless God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, intervenes and sends revival to us. Christians, church, we're being tested. We are being put through the fire. Cultural Christianity will not stand in this current environment. It will fade away. I'm going to ask you, are you remaining steadfast, stable, firmly established in the faith, in the gospel? Are you still hoping in the gospel? Maybe you've never been reconciled to God. Well, I want you to trust His wonderful and marvelous grace this morning. You need the supremacy of Jesus Christ in your life. You need Him for salvation and reconciliation. You need Him for sanctification. You need Him to remain steadfast, persevere in this life, so that one day you will be glorified in heaven, presented to Him holy, blameless, and without reproach. I've got to close. And I'm going to close with another old hymn. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Oh, without Him, how lost I would be. You don't do this in your own power. You do this in the power of God. Are you steadfast and unmovable in your faith today, in the hope of the gospel? Don't be moved away by that hope. Don't let falsehoods of this culture remove you away or move you away from the truth of the gospel. Are you standing on the solid rock? All other ground is sinking sand. Let us pray. We thank You, Jesus, for being the supreme reconciler. Lord, we give thanks, those of us who are believers, that we are no longer alienated from You, hostile in mind, running after evil deeds, but we have been made a new creation, running away from sin. But for the one, or for those who are here today, who are alienated from You, draw them by Your grace. Shine light in the darkness. Lord, help us to be unmovable when it comes to the faith and the hope of the gospel. Give us strength to remain steadfast. We can't do it in our own power, but Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we can be firmly established. I thank You, Lord, this morning for allowing me to preach Your word. There is no greater honor or privilege. I pray, Lord, that You will use the words of this sermon along with Your holy and perfect word, Your powerful word, to convict, sanctify, and draw others closer to You in a relationship with You. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the gift of reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be over here to my left, your right, I guess. If anyone wants me to pray with them, you'd like to talk to me this morning, I'll just be over here And as we sing this response hymn, would you stand as we sing?